reading of God's Word, 2 Kings chapter number 13 and verse number 14. It says here that Elisha, that's the prophet, of course, of God, who was the successor to Elijah, who got the mantle from Elijah. His request was a double portion of the anointing that his predecessor Elijah experienced. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. He was nearing the end of his life. Joash, the king of Israel, came to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. Father, I thank you for who you are in our lives. I thank you that you have distributed and dispensed, sent from your throne, the presence of the Holy Spirit for all of your people to enjoy and experience. We need his refreshing. We need his comfort. We need his advice. We need his direction. We need for him to reveal Jesus. We need for him to open the Word of God to us and reveal truth in our hearts. So tonight, once again, Holy Spirit, lead us, show us, direct us. May we walk together in unity, in fellowship, anointed of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this year, 2017. Your territory is being increased. It's the prayer of Jabez. Enlarge my territory. Amen? Your territory is being increased. It may include a job or promotion or healing over from an issue that has troubled you for a long period of time and no longer confined. God is going to bolt open the doors and liberty and freedom will become yours. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and liberty. Walking in your destiny. The hand of the Lord is upon his people. How many receive that? Yes. Receive what the Lord has for you tonight. I'm not here to just play church. I don't have time to do that in life. I've come to bless, to be blessed, and to grow. That's why we're here tonight. I've come to bless, to be blessed, and to grow. So in 2 Kings, now chapter 13, verse 15, Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he's given the king some instruction because he needs some direction in life. So he took himself a bow and some arrows, and then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hand. So now the prophet of God, he's got his hands on the hands of the king, who's got his hands on a bow and ready to fire some arrows. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. And Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrows." So the king took them. And he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground with them." So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him. Well, preachers shouldn't get angry. Well, this guy did. Yeah? Mm-hmm. When people don't do the right thing, yeah. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times." So the Lord gave Joash the ability to put his enemy out of commission, but he only took a temporary victory instead. I trust that's not going to happen to anybody here in 2017. The Lord was not pleased with the lack of pursuit of that enemy. I've given you the ability to strike your adversary and your adversary not recover from it, and you get total victory. You should press for more, for God's hand is on you. Because you're dealing with the same enemy because you keep playing with him. And if you strike that adversary in the strength of God, you will strike the devil out of sickness. You will strike the devil out of poverty. You will strike the devil out of discouragement. You have the strength to run him out of your bloodline, run him out of your family, out of our community, and run him out of our nation. God help us. And even though I didn't intend to go here tonight, but God's intention is for you to be able to walk forward, and there is no enemy in hell that can prevent your victory. None. So something happening in this room, take a moment and just lift your hands and pray in the Spirit for just a couple of moments. Can you do that? Those of you that know how to do that, pray in the Spirit for just a couple of moments. Come on, pray aloud in the Spirit. We praise you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You've never done that before. I'm praying for the baptism in the Holy Spirit with an evidence of your prayer language. Come on, lift your voices and worship and praise the Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm anticipating Spirit-led breakthroughs in the lives of God's people. Praise you. Thank you. We love you. Come on, say hallelujah to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we ask the Holy Spirit, why? Why is it that we have such a struggle with your presence here in America, where all over the world the Holy Spirit is being poured out liberally and freely? And a pastor was asking someone from another part of the world, what in the world is, why is there such a huge difference when we go into places across the continent of Africa or in Asia or in South America, where the world is experiencing the Holy Spirit? And the simple one-word answer that was given of why there's such a dichotomy between the Western church and the Eastern church in terms of the experience of the Holy Spirit, one-word answer, hunger. Hunger. Recently, one of our friends got back from Nigeria, and he reports that there were just pastors that he had spoken with. There were 8,000 pastors gathered from all over Nigeria to just be prayed with and prayed for. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit to them, he said, was unbelievably outstanding. All over Nigeria. One service he conducted, he said there were 60,000 people inside the arena and nearly 30,000 people outside the arena who couldn't get in because the seats were all taken. And he said there were cameras outside so we could see what was going on in the overflow, so to speak, of how the Holy Spirit was at work. He said, and while we were watching some of the activity outside the arena, people were on their own with no one praying for them, but the power of the Holy Spirit so present, people were getting up out of their wheelchairs and walking and kicking their wheelchairs away because they were being healed by the presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Three of the largest churches in the world are in Nigeria, and they're under great persecution there. But a massive outpouring is happening because they've got unfathomable hunger for the Lord, desire for God, deep hunger. And Jesus said, I will pour out my Spirit on those who are hungry for a deeper, more intimate relationship with Him. And He's also moving among believers in a new season of unprecedented abundance in every area of life. Look at the New Testament church. Was there any lack in the New Testament church when it was born? None whatsoever. No one lacked anything. And when you look at Acts 2, the Holy Spirit descends on the upper room. There are 120 people gathered. They have great hunger. They're waiting for 10 days. They're praying, no doubt fasting, believing that God is going to answer the prayer and the directive that Jesus gave them. And a mighty outpouring came on the day of Pentecost. And like an amazing fire upon them, miracles begin to break out, and thousands were born again on the day of Pentecost. And the scripture says, within days, there was no lack among any, because not only did He provide them spiritual and physical renewal, but also that their finances were taken care of, that there was no lack anywhere in the church. We need to be hungry in order to see God's fulfillment of the great commission in these last days. And I can tell you without reservation, the lost around the world and the needy around the world are hungry and desperate for a life-changing, miracle-working message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But believers in our culture need to have the same hunger to proclaim the gospel as those who want to receive the gospel. God help us to enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit unashamedly. There is a new birth experience of spiritual awakening, another great awakening and restoration coming to the hungry in the church today. And you won't leave here infirmed tonight. You will not leave here undergoing anything tonight. You will leave here overcoming when you go home tonight. We serve Elohim. We serve God Almighty. He can do anything we need for victory. Stomp on the enemy's head and stand up in victory. Someone will walk out of here restored. So here's a word for Calvary. In this time of our lives, there are three words that I feel the Holy Spirit has given us in this new year. The first is untouchable. Lift your hands and say, in Christ we are untouchable. Come on. Second word I want to share with you is unstoppable. Say, we are unstoppable. The third word I want to give to you tonight is unbreakable. Say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we are untouchable, unstoppable, and we are unbreakable. Touch someone and say, you can't break me. Say, devil, you are under my feet. You can't stop me and you can't break me. It's hammer time. You can't touch this. No. The devil may think he can bother you and trouble you, and he'll attempt to take you down, but I have a Jesus bat. Bill Wilson and I both have one. It's God's word, and we'll knock him out with it. Amen? And once you know that, you can't help but celebrate. You might want to become like Daniel in a Babylonian culture where he and just a handful of others were serving the Lord in spite of all the craziness of the culture. You might want to write this and put it on your mirror. I am untouchable, unstoppable, and unbreakable. That describes Daniel in the Babylonian Empire. We are in a new beginning, meaning something has ended. Let me share a couple things with you. I'm your preview. I'm not your movie. So you have to see me blessed so you know how much more is coming for you. Amen? And the thing the Father wanted to give to his son Jesus, not just power, Jesus was, is, and always will be God forever, eternally. He has no beginning and no end. So the thing that the Father wanted to give his son, what could he give his son that he didn't always already possess? Something in earth that he needed to possess, a name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The last Adam, Jesus, let the snake know at that name, at my name, Jesus. Ask yourself, what happens when people say your name? What the devil attempts to do with us is destroy our name. The enemy started with the destruction of our name when he got to working on Adam and Eve. And all through the word, the enemy sought to destroy his name before it was manifested. But the Father is the restorer of the name. And in this new season, the preview, untouchable, unstoppable, unbreakable. If you're not here on Wednesday night, you can't miss this stuff. A Daniel anointing. God wants to establish your name. And what you lost will be given back to you. You have an anointing for appointing. God is a restorer. And the Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locusts, the hopping locusts, the stripping locusts, and the cutting locusts. I'll restore that to you. And after having done all, stand. Do not worry about what man says. Do what God says. Because if you can endure the storm, God will have restored you. So watch. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Conversation between Moses and some of the Israelites. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, sometimes we talk ourselves totally out of what God has for us. The first thing you need to know, you're coming out of Egypt. I said you're coming out. Tell your neighbor, I'm already out. Not coming out. Already out of Egypt. We have been delivered out of the system of bondage. That's what Jesus has done for us. We are out of slavery. We are out of lack, out of trying to make ends meet, out of hamburger helper. You're at Cool Hand Luke's. And you're not trying to figure out how to pay that bill. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, spilling off onto your lap. Don't start missing where you used to be. Embrace where you are in the Lord. Israel was delivered out of Egypt, but look at their attitude. Egypt was still in them. Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So Moses had to finally tell them to just shut up. Okay. Their leader had to quiet the people. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. You see, out of our reservoir of old nature come these eminent fears. And they then begin to churn within us until we begin to speak those fears out into the atmosphere. And listen, what's in you begins to come out of you, and the next thing you know, you have said things, if you listen to yourself, you wish you'd never allowed to be spoken. Tell your neighbor, don't be scared. And I like this part, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Are you ready? Because it's going down tonight. It's going down. It didn't wake up. I didn't wake up to waste this day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Today is your day. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The problems you're seeing tonight, the dramas that you've come out of through the day and last week that you're seeing tonight, the lack that you're seeing tonight. Listen, for the bondage that you've suffered, for the haters, for the one standing in the way of your promotion, the thing that has plagued your bloodline, declare yourself so healed, you'll not need prescription drugs to get through the day. Tonight, delivered. Be determined like the woman with the issue of blood. Tonight is my deliverance. Tonight is my breakthrough. Tonight, I get a new beginning. Tonight, I'm no longer dealing with drama. Stuff you awaken to daily that's pulled you down. Tonight, behold the salvation of the Lord. And rejoice. Rejoice. For the King is here. El Shaddai is present. Jehovah Shalom is here. Jehovah Nissi is here. Elohim is here. Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh is here. My God, my Master, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Healer is here. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. You need to know, you didn't get here on your own. It was God. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. When men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive, and the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Give God an advance praise. Can somebody do that? Come on. Give God an advance praise. We left Egypt. It's behind us. God worked a miracle. We're at the Red Sea, and God is parting the waters, and we're going to be running across on dry land. And many have seen prosperity, but then a sense that something is chasing you, catching up with you. That old stuff that you left behind you, like Israel was experiencing over their shoulder. They looked back and saw Pharaoh advancing with his chariots in the very same path they had used to escape. But God said to them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We need to exercise that tonight. Whatever enemy has plagued your life, you even saw it when you got up this morning, trying to move and advance on you and speaking to you the negativity of your old past, your fuel near empty in the automobile, but you found some dollars because you knew I had to get to church and there's a full tank coming, thank the Lord. So watch, you will never see again. You shall see again no more forever. The enemy who is chasing you, you will see no more forever. And I like the way the Holy Spirit arranged that statement. Because I would have been very grateful with no more. Amen? Then God said, add forever. And let me say how the Holy Spirit just made that real to me. Forever means you won't see it in your lifetime. And your children and children's children won't deal with it either. Gone, baby. Gone. Amen. So on the count of three, whatever it was, look it over your shoulder one last time and tell it goodbye. Yeah. When you look straight ahead, you won't see that enemy again. But one last peek. Look, when you turn forward and look forward, don't worry about what's behind you. The enemy is gone forever. You just turn back and peek. And then I want you to give God your best praise for what's ahead of you. Amen? So on the count of three, one, two, come on, a quick peek, three, and then turn and give God your best praise. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You're set free from what's been chasing you. You thank God for that. Untouchable, can't catch you now. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrow. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. The reason God releases you from your Egypt is to bring you into a good and large land. Say, I'm coming into a good and large land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. A land of ites. So should we not thank God for the ites? Because you thought you were wasting time in life and not making any progress, thinking everybody else is being blessed but me, God had the ites families in place to already pave the way for your business. Listen, houses they never had to build, places of business they never had to turn the soil for. Listen, God had the Ites families in place to pave the way for your business, for your housing, for your paycheck, for your harvest. Now the wealth of the wicked has been turned over to you. That's what God did for Israel. That's what God will do for his people. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And I believe there's going to be such an amazing explosion of wealth in the church in these last days, just like in the New Testament church when it first was founded. There'll be zero lack for those on fire doing God's work. Hear the prophetic word. Be ready. God will open the doors and the windows of favor upon you. Prerequisite, hunger for the Lord. How do I churn some of that hunger back up in my life? Get on the Daniel fast and begin to exercise the disciplines of the Daniel fast. God heard them. Your cry was not in vain. And God said, I've heard the cries of my children. And I know that you've been through some stuff. And I know some of you are facing some terrible giants. As pastor to my congregation, I know what some of you have been experiencing. You've suffered some stuff. God is aware. Then he places the burden on my heart. And Israel was tasked with making brick without straw. There was brutality. There were harsh conditions. There was pain emotionally and physically. And the Pharaoh who took power did not know Joseph, nor the God of Joseph. There had been a Pharaoh who did know Joseph and knew the God of Joseph. So there was a time when God was off of their radar, but for 400 plus years, his people did not forget the message that there was a God who loved them. And some of you were once walking with people who knew the Lord and walked with the Lord, but then they left God and drifted back into the culture of the world. And he said, you've been making brick without straw. You've gotten the raw end of the deal. You've been betrayed. You've been lied about and abused. You've been on the short end of that stick. And God said, most would have cursed me and gone on. But you kept crying out and kept believing. And I heard you. I heard your cry. And I'm now bringing you out into a large and good land flowing with milk and honey. I already have someone who's done all the labor over there. Pack your bags. Get yourself in order. I've got a new assignment for you. And God then led me to this word, and he said, the first things I did when I took them out of Egypt, I restored their health and I restored their wealth. So prepare yourself. Why did God deliver you from the death sentence? It says in Psalm 27, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. While I'm still alive, I'm going to get to see the goodness of the Lord. When Hezekiah cried unto the Lord under a sentence of death, God responded to him. And go and tell Hezekiah, God spoke to Isaiah, thus says the Lord, God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. And if you don't open yourself to God's word, you have limited God. That's why on this fast, open God's word. And as you're moving with God and walking in faith, out of nowhere, God's favor comes upon you because you're walking with God in faith under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And you have entered the suddenly. I love that word in the New Covenant. Suddenly, suddenly supernatural. Suddenly there came a sound. That's why I've asked you to pray in the Spirit and to hunger for the presence of the Holy Spirit, because suddenly is coming your way. And the wayward child suddenly comes home. The addiction is suddenly broken. The chronic pain is suddenly gone. The lack of resource suddenly is dispelled by the favor of the Lord. You can check your email or your snail mail because you've got good news waiting for you. And a new opportunity has opened. And the employer values your service and rewards you. Suddenly, supernatural. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor, say favor, in the sight of the Egyptians. so that they granted them what they requested. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. The people who had beaten them into submission for 400 years and taken everything away from them now have been caused to restore to them all that they had stolen. This is not pastor giving you favor. This is not your employer giving you favor. This is not a store clerk giving you a deal. This is Almighty God, listen, favoring you. Amen? Amen? Hear this. There are enough of us at Calvary Christian Center to change the atmosphere in this church. But don't play with God. Get serious in serving Him. Amen? Amen. Man, I wish I had some dreamers in here, some visionaries in here, because that's an aspect of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit we need to see in our day, that you will see, have dreams and see visions, amen? And come on, CCC, you're too smart, too gifted, too talented to just settle for average. And those who will become spiritual entrepreneurs, hungry for the things of God, those believing God to take you into your promise, starting tonight, in this first Sunday night of the new year, listen, because there is favor, there is blessing, there are open doors starting tonight. Step into your promise. God wants to make you a shot caller, going beyond just a job. Thank God for the job, but don't settle. Never settle. And follow what the Holy Spirit places in your heart, not your carnal desires, which will limit your life. And if there's ever a place where Christians have gotten derailed, it's when they allow their feelings to help them make their choices rather than the principles of this book that will help you make the right choices in every case, even when your emotions don't agree. Because God is not through with you. You were not born to pay bills to stay out of debt. You have a kingdom assignment. A kingdom assignment is why God wants to take you out of Egypt, so He can take you into your promise. But if you don't know where you're going, you default back to where you started. That was worth coming here for tonight. They don't know it, but it was worth it. Okay? I said, if you don't know where you're going, you will default back to where you started. God wants you moving forward, subduing, taking down strongholds. How long do we want our community to remain a poor job market? How long? How long do we want our community to remain a poor job market and be written up across the state when they gauge communities and counties and how well they're doing? Why do we usually end up at the bottom of the pile? Why can't we have major industry in our community and county? Who and what is holding us back? We will fulfill our purpose. There needs to be a testimony to the greatness of our God. Let me give you one more thing tonight, because we have to come forward before I close. Okay? God gave you authority as His highest creation on earth. When He created man, you were the highest level of His created ability. Yet the airwaves have been dominated by our adversary, prince of the power of the air. And Paul wrote it like this: in which you once walked according to the course of this world. That was our history. According to the prince of the power of the air. He controlled even our thoughts. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So when you're watching all of this rebelliousness in the hearts of citizenry, I'm not talking about righteous indignation over wrong. I'm talking about rebellion against biblical standards and principles that our founders and our fathers understood to be based on truth from God's word. When you're watching this rebellious spirit trying to throw away all the things that made America the great nation she's been. This is where it comes from. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. And here's where it emanates from, that old nature and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. We were all like this. We were all born universally with this same predisposition to failing God and coming under the authority of the prince of the power of the air. But we are now delivered out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son to show forth the glory of the God that we serve. We are here to love and live and lead like Jesus in a counterculture environment. We're here to be the difference makers in our community and to be a driving force, not just in the four walls of the church at Calvary Christian Center, but to permeate our culture and to take control of where we're headed in terms of spirit and economics and making a difference in the way everything happens around us. Some of you in life have had a tooth extracted. Anybody experienced that ever in their life? Had a tooth taken out? Some people make a big deal out of that. Because you had a problem of some kind. Tooth had to be extracted. It takes, you know, a few days for the awat to heal up. And then comes the manifestation of renewed, healthy tissue. Slight inconvenience, problems gone, and health returns. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The woman with the issue pressed. She pressed. She was, this is do or die. Okay. She was determined. She had to push herself into public. She had to break Eastern cultural ideals and become susceptible to more than just the ridicule of her disease, but to the removal and disparaging remarks of people who ask her, how dare you even be in public? You're unclean. But she needed a miracle. She was going to get one. And if I can touch the hem of his garment, she, in touching Jesus, became untouchable. See, the culture thought she was untouchable because of her issue. In touching Jesus, my goodness, the enemy couldn't lay a finger on her again. By his stripes, we are healed. That means 2,000 years ago, you were healed. So you have to download and update your body with some software update. 2,000 years ago, I was healed before I ever came into the world and got sick. So who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy? That's why this woman kept saying to herself before she touched Jesus, If I, that's where she started. Then she said, I know. She convinced herself in her issue that it won't be an issue. So you're waiting for healing. Listen, get back into his house, back into the inner court, come past the gates of praise, come on into the Holy of Holies, press into Jesus, healed. 2,000 years ago is what he'll tell you, that infirmity needs to get out because it has no place. You, in fact, are illegal here because who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You were healed. So whose report do you believe? Whatever gets down into your spirit will control the way you travel. God brought his people up out of bondage. He enriched them. And as long as they served him with integrity, they were untouchable. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Untouchable. The enemy couldn't lay a finger on them again. Nobody here has time to be permanently sidelined. You don't need to be serving any more time on the bench. You need to get back in the game. Amen? And like the woman with the issue, you make your way to Jesus. I'm going to get to Jesus no matter what. Because if I can, touch. So we declare tonight healing in the name of Jesus. We declare favor in the name of Jesus. That your people are made whole and walk in divine favor, because for nearly 60% is what doctors are telling us now, nearly 60% of illnesses are tied to some emotional stronghold. Therefore, some need emotional healing. You've been injured, you've been hurt, some from childhood, and you've been stuffing it. Some feelings you can't even talk about, but they'll manifest in your body. And just like a warrior who comes back from war with post-traumatic stress and doesn't quickly start to get the help he or she needs, and you start trying to stuff it, it's going to manifest. Some have been stuffing it too much, and there's a need for releasing it tonight, early in the new year. You don't want to drag this stuff with you through 2017. You don't want to be permanently sidelined on the bench for the rest of this year. You want to be back in the game. You want to be armored up. You want the enemy to know when you're on the field, he in big trouble. Amen? The emotional roller coaster you've been on, you're not going to see it anymore. You're going to have a straight line all the way to the goal. Amen? So that's what I want you to do. I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to lift your voices. Listen, I want you to give praise to the name of Jesus. I want you to open your mouths and give thanks to him with hunger and desire, knowing, like the woman, I've got to get some help. I've got to get the help of the Lord. Those of you that really desire him in this new year, those of you that desire more, just to relax, settle for, just have to live with this for the rest of my days. Well, that's what you'll get, because that's what's in your spirit. And that's as far as it'll go. God's not going to overrule your choice. But for those of you who choose, I want more. I've got to have more. There's more for me than sitting on the bench. There's more for me if I will hunger and thirst after him. He will fill me. If I seek him and search for him with all of my heart, I will find him. When I find him, I've got everything. Amen? And what the devil intended for evil, God will have meant for good. The enemy intended to wipe you out. God will break his grip on you as you become his untouchable people. So who wants more this year? Who wants more? Anybody? You know where to be. You know where to come. You know how to make your way down here. These altars are for you. They're designed for you to come hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Amen.